You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Vegas, baby. Vegas. Home of this year's NFL draft, where, like the city, the only certainty is uncertainty.
Just move on up toward your destination.
Any number on the board can be the ultimate score.
Among the last picks, Tom Brady.
You'll see wheeling and dealing.
There has been a trade.
But be careful not to miss out on an ace.
Maybe somebody will call up a woman.
This city can run you dry.
Remember your dream.
Or leave you at an all-time high.
I'm living the dream. It's awesome.
Watch out, just move on up.
I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Move on up.
But one thing is guaranteed.
Move on up.
You're in for a show.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Ego Outdoor Power Equipment. And Las Vegas, the perfect sparkly spot for the NFL draft. It's a land of risk and reward, and that's what the NFL draft is. As you're looking at the site of tomorrow's first round, this is when we find out whose lives will be changed forever, which team gets which player. That's the stage and the podium where the picks will be announced, where the commissioner Roger Goodell will greet the new players in the NFL. It's an incredible time of new beginnings and excitement as we welcome you here to our Vegas set. What's up, guys? Welcome to Vegas.
Y'all look good. Y'all look good.
Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, Matt Miller will join us with a little bit of draft analysis later on. There's so much to get to, y'all. So let's go ahead and start with what has you most excited now, just over 24 hours for the draft. What are you most looking forward to, RC?
The thing I'm most excited about is to see who goes first. Mm. We're in one of those drafts where there's no Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Isn't someone that we've been waiting on for years to be picked, and it started as Aiden Hutchinson. Now we're hearing Trayvon Walker, and I think it's because everyone has flaws. So the first name called is interesting to me because I believe that's the domino that has to fall for us to see what the rest of the draft is going to be like.
Yeah, continuing with this theme of uncertainty, I just want to see where the quarterbacks are drafted because, to Ryan's point, last year it was fairly chalk at the top of the draft. This year, you could see two guys go in the top 10. You could see no quarterbacks go in the top 10. You could see four in the first round or just two. Nobody seems to know what's going to happen, and that makes me all the more excited to see how tomorrow plays out.
Yeah, crew, listen, there's two teams in this draft that are notorious Super Bowl contenders, and the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And candidly, right now, they're not legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Mm. They both have first-round picks multiple. I want to see which organization realizes it's go time right now, and do they go get Aaron Rodgers, the weapon that they desperately need? Do they add what weapons offensively for Patrick Mahomes? I want to see if both those teams leave the draft as legitimate on-paper Super Bowl contenders.
No doubt we've had so much movement in the NFL, but for me it's Baker Mayfield. Where we end up and what will this draft have as an impact on Baker Mayfield as far as the team trading draft picks, or trading players for him?
Yeah.
Listen, we always forget that there are veterans that influence and affect teams' decision-making process. I want to see how much Baker Mayfield weighs on whatever team that potentially has a plan to trade for based on how this draft goes before they pick.
Show me the big men. I am so excited to see these offensive linemen. Y'all know I love the big guys. And it's really going to be fascinating. Ikem Ekwonu, Evan Neal, Charles Cross. There's so many of these O-linemen that I believe can step right into some of these teams and be instant contributors. So which one goes first and which one matters most? Plus, electric personalities with these guys. You're going to love getting to know them. Those are the O-linemen. But how about the D-line, edge rusher, one of the strongest positions in the draft?
Yes, Lord.
Jr. has four defensive ends in his top 11 overall. That's for you, Marcus. Aiden Hutchinson leads the way as Mel's top-ranked overall player, with Kayvon Thibodeau, Trayvon Walker, and Jermaine Johnson all ranked between 8th and 11th. So talking big men on the D-line, and we got to start with you, Swagoo, of course. A lot of people have Hutchinson coming off the board first, but you have a guy that you think more people should be considering for that number one spot or the number one DM taken.
Jermaine Johnson.
Listen, yeah.
I think he's the most polished, ready pass rusher to leave college and go to the NFL. His hand usage is phenomenal. He understands how to track quarterbacks within the pocket. And when you look at him, he transferred from Georgia. And when you look at how he makes plays on the football, y'all know I talk about this all the time. On the NFL level, as a pass rusher, a lot of guys can get past tackles. Can they finish?
Yeah.
And also, can they finish with the ball in their hands, strip sacks? We know the premium that's being placed on that now in this league. And when I looked at tape of all of these guys, they're, first of all,
you think he's a better pass rusher or more refined than Aiden Hutchinson?
His hands are as good as any defensive end in this draft.
Yeah.
The way he rushes, he has a push-pull, he has a dip and rip, he understands space and how to gather and get back downhill on quarterbacks. But when I look at guys rush the passer, y'all, it's about effort for me, right?
Yeah.
And when I say effort, everybody think he going 100 miles an hour and he flying around, he going fast. DeMarcus Ware taught me a long time ago, the best pass rushers, they use the least amount of movement when they get to the man. And if you look at Jermaine Johnson and how he finishes on tackles, it does not take much for him to engage, disengage, and then get to the quarterback.
But you know what's crazy? When you start to draft high in the draft, when you're looking at a guy in the top five, there's some things you don't want to have to teach.
Yeah.
Right? And honestly, when you look at what you're saying about Jermaine Johnson, those things are true. But Trayvon Walker has some things that you can't teach, some things that you can't coach, some athletic ability, some quickness, some explosion. And I believe that's why he's moving up the draft board. Teams are looking at him and saying, yes, this guy is raw. And then when you look at him being on a team, not with just bulldogs, but with literal dogs on that defense, he was sometimes overlooked. But when you go back and watch the film, you watch him close, you watch him move, even sometimes seeing him in coverage and some of the things that he can do, I believe he has a rare skill set, and that's why teams are now looking at him in the top five and maybe why he moved ahead of some of these dudes who are more refined and polished, because they're like, these things I can't coach or I can't teach.
Unreal.
I could teach him the rest.
Sounds like we're all going to be at odds on this topic because I'm listening to you and I agree with you about the uncoachable traits, but I think Kayvon Thibodeau is better at all of the things you just said.
Yeah.
And honestly, his fall has been one of the most befuddling things to me in the draft. All it appears that he's kind of rising back again. You hear a lot about the effort, questions about that, sort of murky narrative stuff. When I watch him, his effort stands out to me on tape. That second effort to get after the quarterback, the strength, the explosive first step, arguably the best, I think, of any of the edge rushers.
Yeah.
And then this is the most uncoachable thing, and I think the trait that, frankly, he has and none of the other top guys have, which is the flexibility.
He can bend.
He can turn the corner and dip and rip. You have to have that quality to be an elite edge rusher in the NFL, and I see that with him.
I love this conversation because you guys have used a phrase that I use for quarterbacks so often, uncoachable traits, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you guys this because I don't pretend to know the defensive ends, but we don't use the phrase like floor and ceiling for really any other position but quarterbacks.
Oh.
So out of this group that you're talking, Thibodeau and Jermaine Johnson and Walker, I'll go back to Aiden Hutchinson. Like, who's got the highest floor, so to speak, out of these players? Because they're going to get taken early. Who's got the highest ceiling?
I think Jermaine Johnson actually has the highest floor.
When I watch Jermaine Johnson, really? I think Chandler Jones.
So would you take Jermaine Johnson one then?
He would be the first DN on.
Because I'm looking at Aiden Hutchinson, and I feel like we're at this point, and Mina, I know that you talk with me about it. Like, we're talking about Aiden Hutchinson like he's just a try-hard guy, and he's not an elite athlete.
No.
And that's what I'm saying. Is his ceiling as high as a Trayvon Walker?
That's wrong, though, right? You're saying
wrong
about Aiden Hutchinson. We're not giving his athleticism enough credit.
I would contend that Walker and Thibodeau actually have high floors because of their run defense, which we don't really
Who's
talk about.
Who's got the
highest
ceiling?
Yeah,
I think Thibodeau.
I believe if Thibodeau plays at the top of his game, he's the best of the edge rushers in this draft.
I agree.
But I do believe that the things that people are seeing in Trayvon Walker now that they're going back to watch the film differently is why he's
moved
up.
We're going to get to ask them about this in person tonight. We have a draft special coming your way tonight on ESPN.
Everybody
at
the best.
7:30. Top
DN.
Kayvon Thibodeau and Jermaine Johnson are going to join us on that. We are going to be on this all week long, and we are with you all week long. Here from Las Vegas. A lot more coming your way on NFL Live, so keep it right here. Quarterbacks have been the biggest unknown in this year's draft class, but Mina says traits like those of Mahomes and Allen are available. So why not go get that prospect? We'll tell you more. Speaking of comparisons, next, Matt Miller gives us his NFL player comps for the wide receivers in this year's draft. Who might be the next OBJ or Mike Evans? NFL Live is presented by Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power equipment, and in part by Hulu Plus Live TV. Over 75 live channels now with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're watching NFL Live, presented by Ego Outdoor Power Equipment. This receiver class is historic.
Absolutely stacked. Fire!
Phenomenal.
The top end reminds me a lot of the top end from last year, but there's also more on the back end that gives you 7, 8, 9, 10 really good players.
Chris Olave.
Jameson Williams got it behind the defense.
Touchdown. What a play by guess who? Dotson.
Goes deep. It's caught by London. Touchdown.
I can't wait to see what they do, man.
Glad to start our coverage on ESPN here from Las Vegas today in an absolutely loaded wide receiver class in this year's NFL draft. Draft insider Matt Miller joining us now. Matt, make it simple for the viewer here. Give us some NFL comps for some of these top prospects. Let's start with Drake London from USC. Who does he remind you of?
Laura, Drake London is my top receiver in this class. I love what he does at the catch point, contested catches, being on the high point over defensive backs. There's a little Randy Moss to the game here, but I'm going Mike Evans with his super-sized ability at the wide receiver position. He can beat people underneath. I think that's an underrated element of his game, but it's what he does in the red zone that is so special coming out of that USC offense. He'll be an impact day one. But he's not the only guy, as you mentioned. Garrett Wilson from Ohio State has special ability after the catch. He's also very physical at the catch point, which is why he gets a Robert Woods comp for me, somebody that can dominate again on underneath routes, slants. We're going to see him running drag routes where he can make himself come open with speed, but it's what he does after the catch that is truly, truly special, and why I think he'll be a top 10 pick tomorrow night. We have to talk about his teammate, though. They have a lot of them at Ohio State. Chris Olave has true deep speed. He can separate over the top. He can split your defenders, whatever you want to call it, take the top off. To me, I see somebody that's a lot like Terry McLaurin with the Washington Commanders. I wouldn't be surprised if these two get teamed up in the first round tomorrow night, because we know Washington wants more wide receivers. And then finally, from Alabama, a player I think would be a top 5 pick had he not torn his ACL in the national championship game. What we see from Jameson Williams is truly special. I think it's Odell Beckham Jr.-like in what he does with the body control, to able to adjust to the ball. And if you guys remember early OBJ, when he was with Eli Manning, he was a deep threat, but he was also a yak threat, yards after catch. Jameson Williams brings that same burst in the open field, but also stretching the field vertically. Once healthy, he's someone that'll truly be, I think he could be one of the top 5 or 6 receivers in the NFL once he's back healthy from that torn ACL, which, guys, by the way, he's ahead of schedule on, so we might see him sooner than later.
Yeah, Matt, they're saying he'd be ready to go by training camp, and obviously whoever drafts him probably will take a conservative approach, but you got to think, you know, sometime around October he would be in the fold. Matt's with us all week long with all of the latest from his analysis. And when you assess these four guys, Mina, there's so much conversation around which one's the best and which one sticks out to other people. I hear a lot of different opinions. So for you, who sticks out?
So he's not going to be the first wide receiver taken because of the injury issues you discussed, but Jameson
Williams
is number one in my heart. I mean,
yes. And he's number one on the film, too.
It wasn't always that way, actually, for me, because, earlier I thought, he's just a speed guy. You look at the stats, you see, he's a deep threat, but what else can he do? But then when you really dig in, you see it's not just his top-end speed, which is, of course, spectacular. It's the way he gets there, rare ability to modulate his speed, to stop, start, like he's driving stick. That's what makes him such a nightmare for opposing defensive backs. He's really complete. I mean, the body.
I don't know what modulate means either. I just want you to know.
Tempo.
I think it's the color of your suit.
Yeah, she even with the modulate. I was with her. And you know how people start talking? And you like,
it's like this. That was horrible. Anyway,
Mina modulating how Jameson Williams modulates, but sitting down.
We need to modulate the show right now. Anyways, my point is, he's probably going to drop a little bit because of the ACL, but ACLs are easy to come back from these days. And if he lands with a playoff team, good night.
Y'all, I think we just saw Jameson Williams at the University of Alabama. Actually, his top end speed is better. Jerry Jeudy, when you talk about
the route running
ability, the ability to create separation, but also have that top end speed to get deep. That is something I remember we talked about Jerry Jeudy with. We knew that Jerry Jeudy could get deep, but not like him.
Right.
Not like him. So it's when you see the traits and you think about the success that Alabama wide receivers have had here recently in the draft, and obviously with the ACL injury that we keep bringing up, but ultimately when you look at this kid work intermediate, when you look at him work short, and obviously the deep route running ability, you just know that what we see in the NFL today is what Jameson Williams is and what every team wants him to be.
I think people are making too big a deal of the ACL. If you have this young man as the number four pick of the draft, going into the national title game, he should still be there.
Yeah. Well, listen, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. First off, ACLs are like sprained ankles in the NBA
crazy.
Right? People just come back quickly. And we also have to remember, this is not like the Buffalo Bills drafting Willis McGahee after his injury, reconstruction. This is very different with Jameson Williams. And when you watch this guy, the first question I ask is this. What the hell was Brian Hartline thinking? Woo. He's the wide receivers coach at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right? One of the best in the country. Imagine that room. Jameson Williams had to transfer because he couldn't play there. He goes to Alabama. He's in the SEC, and he absolutely goes crazy. He could get deep. He was a guy that could get you extra yards on screens. Yeah. He did everything for that team this year for over 1,500 yards. And I believe he's a dude, if you think he can play, if you think he belongs in the top 10, I believe you still draft him because it's about a 10-year projection, not a 10-game project.
I will say this, Dan, quickly. Alabama did a lot with him from molding him as a man. And that there was some of that needed to happen. And to Jameson Williams' credit, he took that advice and really was able to apply it. But go ahead about the ACL and what you think.
Well, I think that if you're looking at where he should go, that's why the sticking point for me in this draft is the fourth pick in the New York Jets. It's not six at Carolina.
Right.
Because if you're the Jets, I think that Jameson Williams has to go to a team that doesn't need a coach and general manager to get off to a good start this season. Because
you don't think the Jets do?
That's my point. But if you're the Jets, Joe Douglas, their general manager, probably needs to get off to a good start.
Yeah.
So you probably like Jameson Williams, the receiver, the best.
But can you
have the luxury of not getting him to play till November?
Can I throw out Alabama at 8? Because we know they're going to be bad this year.
Alabama.
They know they're – I mean, Atlanta.
Alabama is an NFL team.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much Alabama.
Atlanta. How about y'all? Y'all. Okay. Atlanta – I said y'all. Alabama truly is.
Yeah.
Atlanta at 8. They know they're going to be bad.
Right.
They can afford to use a pick on a guy who doesn't trust
it. And that's why I think the Jets are in a little bit of a different situation because Joe Douglas, their general manager, needs to have a good September and October
and
to really get
it
some
would be
momentum.
Pitts and Williams.
Correct.
Back-to-back.
Golly, you think about that offense, you're going to say, well, who's going to be the quarterback, though, because someone's got to get it to him. No. All right, we got a lot more coming your way from Vegas, so keep it right here. What do you do when it's the day before the draft and you have questions about quarterbacks? Well, you call up your own quarterback. We got one here. Dan shows us why teams may be hesitant to draft Malik Willis as high as top 10. That's next.
How'd you guys get there?
Malik Willis is absolutely
dynamic.
He is one of the most exciting prospects in the draft.
Malik Willis this time to the right.
Light him up! Touchdown!
Man, it doesn't get any easier than that.
Malik Willis's deep ball will make you salivate.
Like a good-looking fried chicken sandwich with some hot sauce on it.
When we get this guy on an NFL football field, we will really see him let it loose.
The only quarterback in this class that has uncoachable traits.
I don't know what he's gonna turn into, but I know them traits he got is special.
Oh, fried chicken with some sauce. We're gonna have some of that tonight.
Oh, that's
grilled. I'm a grilled chicken.
Yes. Yeah, of course you did.
Sure.
Shocking.
Of course you are.
All right. Malik Willis was as dangerous as any quarterback in the country during his two seasons at Liberty under Hugh Freeze. He accounted for 74 touchdowns in that span. That's the most of any player in the nation. His 27 rushing touchdowns were tied for the most of any quarterback in the last two seasons. And, you know, Dan, a lot of experts have Malik Willis as the first quarterback off the board, rightfully so. There's such an upside there, even though a lot of the conversation's been around the developmental side of it. You have some concerns, though.
Well,
what are they?
He's such an impressive athlete, but the thing that concerns you is he plays so slow from the pocket, physically more than anything. And there's too many examples on tape, and you have to ask yourself, is he able to play quickly from the pocket? This clip against Wyoming is the perfect example of it. You're going to have a really high-low read backside. You're going to start to your left, and he does a good job of realizing that corner and safety are there. Okay, it's not there. Now, number three is going to be this crosser from the right side all the way to left. He's going to come in the middle of the field. His eyes get there. Now, in the NFL, his ball is out right now. You got to throw it in between those two defenders. You see this extra hitch pad of the football, and it looks like an inaccurate throw. It's just late, and those linebackers squeeze, and you start to feel that color. And so the question you have to ask yourself is this: why? Why do you play slow from the pocket? And I think the two answers are, one, he was not asked to do that a lot, where hang in the pocket and kind of go full progression reads and kind of see windows. So is he able to develop that into his game? And then the second thing is, it is a little bit of the Russell Wilson conversation, where that's where being that 6 foot, 6 foot one quarterback comes into play, because you have to create those throwing lanes for him to see. And that's something where I always say this: quarterbacks that get taken early on, they don't not make it because they're not talented. They fail because they don't fix their real big flaw. And that would be the one thing that you got to figure out. Is he capable of fixing it? And are you guys capable of coaching it out of him?
And you can manufacture those throwing lanes in the NFL. I mean,
sure.
Malik Willis goes to the league, there's going to be a ton of play action, you know, expanding things for him so that he can find receivers in the middle of the field. But the middle of the field has remained an issue for Russell Wilson throughout his entire NFL career.
And that's a concerning thing, because I think reps help you get better at it, but Russell really hasn't.
Well, but the reason why Russell Wilson's still an elite quarterback, despite rarely using that part of the field, is one, deadly accuracy, right, to every part of the field, but also his elusiveness, the ability to move, find receivers. And I think that's what's going to determine whether or not Malik Willis is that elite quarterback we want him to be. Because I'll tell you right now, he's probably never going to use that part of the field. He's about 6 foot one, right? You do your best, but it's always going to be a challenge. You can rise to the level of a Russell Wilson or a Kyler Murray at that size, or you can have the struggles that, frankly, Baker Mayfield has had with his size. And I think that's going to be like the two paths that he could go in.
Well, I mean, he's supremely athletic, right? Supremely talented. He can make all of the throws. We've obviously seen what he could do with his legs. We also have to watch the film in a different way because of competition. You look at the level of competition, and we think of the Carson Wentz, you think of the Trey Lance, a guy like Josh Allen. So when you are watching these things and you see these superb physical traits, you also have to hone in on the little things. Like you're saying, Dan, why are you not processing in the pocket? Why are you not making these plays physically? Because we expect you, if we're talking of drafting a quarterback from Liberty in the top 15, the top 20, I expect you to be more talented than the people you're playing with. So what about the little things? Can I see, can I look at and project who you will become in the NFL? And I think that's going to be the issues that scouts have or evaluators have on where to take Malik Willis.
As you break down quarterbacks, and I look, y'all already know how I feel about this quarterback class. It's a weak class, right? And I hate to like cast that aspersion on these guys because it's draft week and they excited, but we don't have a guy in this draft with the traits to say he's the franchise and then start drafting around him. But ultimately, Dio, I want to ask you this question because you showed the clip about the pocket. We got a lot of athletic quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
Joshua Dobbs was athletic. Right? He went third round. Dak Prescott was athletic, went fourth round. Who is this guy as far as ceiling-wise, you think he would be if you got him to his full potential in the NFL? And how long do you think it would take to get him?
He's way more athletic than those two dudes.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the conversation revolved around development can be eased because of athleticism. Right.
As a quarterback, I think he's a notch below Russell Wilson. He doesn't have Russell's arm strength. He doesn't have Russell's ball placement. And he doesn't have Russell's, like, the ability to be such a deadly passer on a consistent basis.
Right. So quickly, where is a fit? What makes sense?
I still think Pittsburgh would be the team that I, because they've got a coach who doesn't need to win and a general manager. I will say this, though, because you mentioned the processing thing. I don't think it's a processing thing. I think it's a, I've done this 10,000 times, and I know I could throw this ball in between these two guys with a little bit of touch before my receiver's ready. And that's why the development matters so much, because he needs those reps. That's the hardest thing for quarterbacks to get a feel for.
A reminder that Carolina picks at 6. We think they may be looking at a quarterback. Pittsburgh's a little bit later down.
I think 20 is the best situation.
But they may have to get up a little higher if they want to get Willis. All right, let's get to some top stories, you guys. And these are brought to you by Sleep Number as we get back to Matt Miller here. We just talked Willis. Matt, give us the other quarterback headlines heading into tomorrow night's draft. We're now less than 24 hours away.
Yeah, Laura, I think the player that you guys weren't talking about, Kenny Pickett, is where it all starts. That's the big domino that teams that I talk to are expecting to fall first. Now, the question is, do the Carolina Panthers take him at 6 overall? If they don't, there is an expectation that it could be a little bit of a wait for Kenny Pickett, maybe to the New Orleans Saints with one of their two first-round picks. But I have heard the Pittsburgh Steelers do like Kenny. He's right there in their backyard. They've done a ton of work on him. So if he's there at 20, I think Pickett to Pittsburgh is definitely something that's heating up as we get closer to the draft. Now, Desmond Ridder, this one's for you, Mina. I've heard the Seattle Seahawks have done the most work on Desmond Ridder. Remember, they have two picks in the second round. No, they're not going to draft him at 9, but the Seattle Seahawks are seen as a team that could trade back into the late first round to get Desmond Ridder, to have him compete with Drew Lock, maybe be their next Russell Wilson. And then that other domino that we're waiting to see fall is Baker Mayfield. And Baker will be watching the draft just like the rest of us to see what the Carolina Panthers do at pick 6. If they go with the left tackle, that still remains the most likely landing spot for Baker Mayfield. But I do have to say the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks, if they don't select a quarterback in the early rounds, those are also landing spots that I know Mayfield's camp is watching closely.
All right, so Matt's saying Desmond Ridder potentially to the Seahawks. They've done the most work on him. Dan said that Ridder's tape is the best tape of any of these quarterbacks. Mina, what do you think about Ridder to your Seahawks?
I don't hate it. I mean, I like Ridder a lot. I think he's the most pro-ready of the prospects. We've been talking about processing. I think he's the best processor.
You don't want it at 9, though, right?
No, certainly not at 9. But
it
if they
would
were
be, right?
able to get him later and then take a blue-chip defensive prospect at 9, which is what I want them to do, I'd be thrilled.
I'll say I'll be interested if he's still available in the second round. You could see maybe someone grab him at the end of the first round. Lions have that pick. All right, we got a lot more coming your way here from Las Vegas as we get you ready for the NFL draft. Just coming your way tomorrow. Two high-profile corners at the top of the draft boards. RC's got the answers on if pressmen are important. How hard it is to evaluate DBs these days? You're watching NFL Live presented by Ego Outdoor Power Equipment. And our action-packed April rolls on tomorrow night. The first round of the NFL Draft beginning at 8 Eastern. The NBA playoffs continue on Friday and Saturday night. And our UFC Fight Night main card starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN. On Saturday, it's the highly anticipated junior lightweight unification bout between Oscar Valdez and Shakur Stevenson. Both are undefeated. Huge week here on ESPN. We got you covered for all of it. Let's get to Sauce Gardner, you guys. Who said he's the best player in this draft about himself? How'd he get the nickname, though, okay? His youth football coach, Coach Tez, gave it to him because of the fire he brought to the field as a six-year-old. The original nickname was A1 Sauce Sweet Feet Gardner. They shortened it to just Sauce. He was as good as any quarterback in the country the last few seasons. He allowed just 8 completions on 30 targets last season. No quarterback completed more than one pass on Gardner in a single game. That's a nuts stat. A1 Sauce, not a fan. Gardner allowed no touchdowns in 37 career games as a Bearcat. I think that gets overlooked a little bit sometimes. And clearly, teams were trying to avoid throwing Gardner's way. So, RC, why is he so good? Why do you want to avoid him?
Learn us something.
Well,
Here's the first thing. He's extremely patient. He's physical enough when he has to be, but he has a great feel for the game. And you can go back to the college football playoffs against the Alabama Crimson Tide, and you can start here. Here, we're going to get a play where they're just going to try to get a screen behind the line of scrimmage to Jamison Williams. So they're in man-to-man. So we're going to get the screen. We're going to get the motion across. We're going to get a crack block, and they're in man-to-man. You can tell they're in man-to-man because watch the nickel go over with Jamison Williams. Sauce Gardner's going to do what he always does. Gets his hand on the receivers, but he has vision into the backfield, comes off, makes a great open field tackle. Here is where he's going to make his money. He is a press corner that finds ways to play the football at the catch point. Watch the balance. Watch the patience as he's getting shook on the line. Here, hands on. This is what he does. He's going to grab you. He's going to control you. He does a great job here of, once he gets down the field, understanding field position. He doesn't need to be over the top. Yeah. He's at the goal line. He can now undercut this play, play this from underneath, and make a play on the football. This is where he uses his height, uses his length. We would love to see him catch it. We would love to see him get his hands off a little bit, but those are things he'll pick up. This is one of the best plays from his college career to me. You're going to watch him get inside help, even though it's cover zero. Yeah. So now he understands I can stay topside. I can also stay outside, but he closes on this ball better than the wide receiver. I wanted to see more of those things from Sauce Gardner, but you know you're getting a long hands on his receiver guy at the line of scrimmage, which is where this game is moving.
I love Ask RC.
Yeah,
because you're so much smarter about this stuff. Okay, so his calling card is obviously the press man coverage. Yep. Most of the highlights that we watch are him getting hands on the receiver. And then if he loses, the recovery speed is also really important. My question for you is, in today's NFL, where different things are being asked of cornerbacks from even 10 years ago, how valuable is press man as your calling card?
Well, press man is valuable because now I feel like I can put you on any wide receiver in any situation, and you have a go-to, right? You have a calling card. You can force guys, and you know what it is, Dan. Now guys have to check, all right, or get to the audible, and now you're trying to throw fades, right? Yep. That's what Richard Sherman used to always do.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman would press the field.
But in 2012.
Right. You know, we're checking. So the thing for me is I want to see him learn to play off man.
Yeah.
I want to see him in zone. And we didn't get to see those things, and that's why, to me, I think it's hard to draft him top three. It's hard to draft him top five because we haven't seen a total book of skill.
Yeah.
And when you look at this league, they're going to make you do everything.
Yeah.
And I believe the shiftier wide receivers are going to give Sauce some trouble on the next level.
I get it. It's Buffalo Sauce.
Oh, okay. There you go.
The suit color.
Yeah,
Buffalo
that was
sauce.
A stretch, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I love him, though.
What's his flaw? I always, right, quarterback-wise, he's going to fail because this. If this guy is not worthy of the top three pick, why?
What's his flaw, Buffalo Sauce?
Well, one, I don't necessarily, I don't want to call it a flaw.
Weakness.
Right?
Yeah.
But where I see him struggling is when you look at guys like Amari Cooper, the Davante Adams, the Cooper Cups, guys who understand leverage, guys who understand
route runners,
how to stem, right?
Yeah.
Because what he wants to do is get both hands on. Yeah. At some point, he's going to have to learn to get the field hand off of a wide receiver.
Okay.
But those dudes don't let you get hands on them. And we've watched coaches in this league understand, you want to press, I'm going to put him in motion.
Yeah.
Right? You want to press, I'm going to put him in a stack.
Yeah.
And I think those things are going to be the things we have to be able to see him do.
You think he's a significantly less player without the press?
Yes, I do.
Huh. What's the separation between him and Derek Stingley?
I think Derek Stingley, I think the only one of these two you can draft in the top five is Stingley.
Yeah.
I think, though, if you feel like you want a corner and you want to be sure about what you're getting, that's why Sauce goes ahead of him. With Sauce Gardner, I know what type of individual I'm getting. I know what type of player I'm getting every single snap. When you look at Derek Stingley, the first thing you go is, and it's a problem if you have to say this, if he plays at his best, he's the best player in the draft.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't want to have to say that about a player. I don't want to have to say if.
Yeah.
Would it concern you, RC?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Give me
one
second.
You've already had three Ask RCs.
This is what I think. This is my separation between him and Stingley. With how much the game has changed, right? Like, now we bumping corners into play nickel at times.
Right.
Now we are asking these guys to lock down the side of the field. And ultimately, the physicality of Derek Stingley, for me as well, is something that he has above Sauce Gardner. I look at Derek Stingley. Out of every guy in this draft, you ask yourself, because if we drafting off traits and potential, and you ask yourself about every guy in this draft, who you taking?
He's scheme agnostic. It doesn't matter where he lands. I mean, we talk a lot about his man coverage and his mirroring technique is amazing, but he's good in zone too.
Yeah.
I don't really care who drafts him, Lions, Seahawks, whatever. He's going to be good if he's healthy.
I agree. I mean, I was standing with Brandon Staley when he ran at the pro day, and he was like, I don't really need to see it. Because he's like the film tells you what this guy is and what this guy can be. And the one thing I want to say about Stingley is this. When I watch a guy as a freshman excel, it's always impressive to me because I know that's just him.
That's them,
I know it's not coaching. I know it's not scheme. I know that's who they are.
Yeah, so maybe look for him to the Chargers, potentially. Also, guys, Sauce's favorite sauce, because we're talking about buffalo sauce, he likes a creamy sriracha that was at Wendy's, but it got discontinued. So if we could bring that back, it would
bring
be great.
Bring it back, Wendy's.
All right, we got a lot more coming your way from Las Vegas to keep it locked right here with this
room. Doja Cat got Mexican pizza back at Taco Bell.
Oh, let me have that. The Chiefs currently have two picks at the end of round one. To the former Super Bowl champs, stay there, correct the defense, move up, and find Tyreek Hill's replacement. We'll tell you next on NFL Live. Be right back. NFL Live is presented by Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power equipment.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NFL draft is tomorrow. It's finally here. We'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network. And ABC's coverage focuses on the prospects' journey to the draft. Our first round coverage begins tomorrow at 8 Eastern, with all 3 days also on ESPN Deportes. 8 teams, this is going to be fun to watch, enter the draft with multiple first round picks. No draft has ever seen more than 6 teams make at least 2 picks in round one. Both New York teams have a pair of top 10 picks, while the Packers and Chiefs got an extra pick at the cost of an all-pro wide receiver, of course. Let's talk about some of those teams. Dan, what should the Jets' plan be at 4-10 overall?
At 4, they should take a wide receiver, and it should be Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. Listen, you need playmakers for this young quarterback, Zach Wilson. Both sides of the line of scrimmage are going to be decent for your football team. If you like Drake London because of his frame, that's fine, but you have to get playmakers with size on the perimeter for Zach Wilson. I think that he takes a huge leap into year two, but you've got to get him guys that can push the ball down, or he can push the ball downfield vertically to them.
You know, and listen, when you look at the New York Giants, what I think about them is obviously you think protection, right? Are we going to do something? Are we going to do something to protect our quarterback? But also, why not add a playmaker in the secondary? You saw what James Bradbury was able to come over and do in his first year after leaving Carolina. Why at number 7 wouldn't you think Sauce Gardner? Why wouldn't you think Derek Stingley, and get some playmakers on the other end? Because this is where the league is going. The league is going to a place either you need to be able to rush the passer, so you can think if you have one of the elite edge rushers, you do that first. But if they are all going, go corner, get a guy that can lock down the side of the field.
So the Eagles, in my mind, have a couple of pretty clear needs, starting with wide receiver. The dream, of course, is that a Chris Olave or Jameson Williams falls to them. If not, I could see them trading down for like a George Pickens to complement Devontae Smith. Next need, cornerback, and also linebacker. And this is another one where who's available. If, Trent McDuffie is there, or Anthony Jr., I think that would be a consideration. Or if N'Kobe Dean is there, that could solve a problem they've had forever.
Yeah, look, I hear all this talk about Green Bay should sit back and wait. Not if you can package and get Jameson Williams or Garrett Wilson.
That's gospel.
Listen, because when you look at this 3-year, $150 million deal with Aaron Rodgers, the window is now.
Yep.
You don't have time to develop a guy or hope that you're getting a guy in the first round that can immediately impact your football team at the wide receiver spot. These are two guys where I think everybody believes that they can come in and make an immediate impact. And I heard you say something that was very important with Devontae left. Aaron likes guys that can create separation, right? And then you help that run after catch, the explosive playability. All of that left with Devontae Adams.
I agree.
They can replace it with one of those two guys.
Hey, the Chiefs also have two first-round picks, you guys, thanks to that deal that sent Tyreek Hill to Miami. Jeff Darlington is covering the Chiefs this week. So, Jeff, any sense on how Kansas City is planning to use those
picks?
Got a
fresh cut. Yeah.
We see you. Jeff, ready for the draft.
High and tight, baby. That's the draft. Look, a lot of people around the league believe that the Chiefs will go wide receiver or cornerback, but that really doesn't tell the whole story about this team. You mentioned the fact that they have two first-round picks at 29 and 30, but they also have two picks in each of the three rounds after that. 12 picks total, tied for the most in the draft with Jacksonville. Why do I tell you all that? Because it means that the Chiefs can make a lot of moves here. They could potentially move up more into the 20s to try to maybe get the wide receiver that they covet, or they could really focus on just making sure that they get quality. It's not about quantity for the Chiefs, even though they have so many picks. It's about quality, and that means that Brett Veach, the general manager, will probably be the busiest guy in the draft. The guy's going to be taking phone calls from everybody in the league. So let's focus on the Chiefs. Thursday, I think they'll be a very busy team to watch.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too, because under Andy Reid, they're not a team that really trades up and tries to get players. They say, we'll just stay where we are. Mina, what do you think, though, that the Chiefs should do with those two picks?
So I usually never advocating for trading up in the first round unless it's for a quarterback. But I think it's something the Chiefs should consider when it comes to getting a wide receiver. Jeff really explained it. They have the second most draft picks of any team behind the Jacksonville Jaguars. So normally, when you have a ton of ammunition, it's because you stink. Yeah. And you just want to throw those picks and get as many players as possible. The Chiefs do not stink. They have a need at cornerback as well. But if there's a wide receiver that they love in this draft, you have the ammunition, you have the window with Patrick Mahomes, I think you have to seriously think about going up and getting that wide receiver just because of who you are as a team right
really
now.
Really fat. Who's the wide receiver that you would put with them?
I mean, Olave would be unbelievable if possible. Williams, we've talked about all show.
I love Olave, by the way.
That would be a great fit with them.
Yeah,
go ahead, Dan.
Him.
They don't stink, but their roster's not as good as people think it is. That's the honest-to-God truth. Yeah, they got a need at corner. They also have a need at edge rusher. Again, they're the only team within that division that does not have two elite edge rushers. I don't think wide receivers are need. You guys hear me say this all the time. They got the best play caller in football. They got the best quarterback in football. They got the best offensive line in football. And when you have an elite offensive line, it makes all those other skill position players better than they actually are.
We haven't seen Patrick Mahomes without an elite wide receiver. Like, we're making massive assumptions. I understand everything you're saying, but Tyreek Hill changed everything in terms of the way defense has played this team.
For sure.
And without a downfield threat, we don't even know what the offense
will
look
like. Well, they've got MVS as a downfield threat. Mecole Hardman's a downfield threat. You can get a George Pickens out of Georgia in that second round.
That would be a significant shift for them.
I think that they have to take those picks and build up the roster better, add a wide receiver at some point. I don't think you use them to go jump up.
Well, I you know what? I actually feel like Dan about the wide receiver. With all the things that you mentioned that they have offensively, and when you pay a guy half a billy, I think you understand that he can make players better. But I also like them to get a corner. Now, it depends on who falls, though, right? Yeah. Who's in that position? If Andrew Booth is available, a guy from Clemson who I think is very, very talented, I believe he's a good fit for that defense. And so that's the type of player, if I'm them and I stand pat, I pick at that position.
I don't hate it, MK, with the wide receiver because of that division. But I lean towards you a little bit more because you got to determine are we going to make pass rush our premium or are we going to make explosive offense our premium. And I think when you say we do have Patrick Mahomes, we do have Travis Kelce and Juju, you probably lean more towards Frank Clark ain't been productive as we want him to be and Chris Jones having someone else on that defensive line, potentially interior-wise, Devontae Wyatt or Davis if they happen to be there or available. But I would go pass rush if I'm Kansas City.
That's fair, but I want to throw out one more reason to jump for a rookie wide receiver. A rookie wide receiver has never been more valuable in the NFL because of where salaries are going. It's actually approaching the value of rookie quarterbacks. So, this is all contingent. If there's a guy and you can get him on a rookie contract that you love, I think you go for it.
Here's where the Chiefs defense right now would give up 30 a game.
Woo! Yeah.
They lost Ward and Tyrann Mathieu. They have no elite pass rusher. Yeah. Maybe
I could
Ingram.
Brought in Justin Reed, who I think
Chris Jones, yeah, see, the that's only elite pass
I think the thing about this team, you have to remember how well Patrick Mahomes played in the divisional round of the playoff. Oof. And the only reason it was a game was because you couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Correct.
Right? So defensively, you have to improve. And also look at the second half against Cincinnati. When the offense wasn't cooking, you couldn't make stops. And so
to me,
you have to be able to make stops.
It speaks to it's the reason I have the Chargers, the best team in this division
now. I agree.
You could change your mind. You could absolutely change your mind if the Chiefs do something aggressive in this first round. Mina, you convinced me. I love it. All right, you didn't get enough of these humans, okay? We're
like
back on your
Laura
TV tonight. I always do. Live from Las Vegas, a two-hour NFL Live draft special. That's tonight at 7:30 Eastern right here on ESPN. Plus, tomorrow and Friday starts NFL Live at 3 Eastern. We're going to bring you 2 hours of coverage in the lead-up to the draft. So much fun here from Las Vegas. You see where the draft's all going down. We'll be back soon.
Pretty.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you
the 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.